That's everyone back here with us this evening. We want to continue our series on matters crucial to congregational success. We take this series from 1 Timothy. We are tonight in chapter 4, development and appreciation for faithful youth. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." My friends, as we've said in each lesson of this series, every church, every congregation needs to know how to conduct its affairs so that it might please God. And we see in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy the proper development and appreciation for faithful youth. Friends, it's a fact, as you study the Bible, that God has always been concerned about children. As God went into Abraham's camp and he talked with him about what he needed to do in Sodom and Gomorrah, he thought to himself concerning Abraham that he will command his children, Genesis 18 and verse 19. That was something important to God, that Abraham would command his children as he ought to. In Exodus 12, 26 and verse 20, 26 and 27, the Israelites were commanded to explain the Passover to their children so that they would understand and be able then to tell their children about it when they were in the wilderness or when they were finally into the land of Canaan. In Exodus 13, 11 through 15, we find that they were to teach their children about the need for sacrifice so that they would offer the sacrifices and the teaching could go on. Deuteronomy 7, verses 2 through 4, we see that they were to teach their children laws concerning marriage. And they were to keep these laws so that their children would be kept within those in those marriage bonds. In Deuteronomy 11, 19 through 23, talks about the blessing of teaching your children. Well, friends, what do all these scriptures have in common? They show us beyond a shadow of a doubt that the primary responsibility for divine instruction, the primary responsibility for teaching children about God, does not lie in the Sunday school room. It does not lie upon the teachers at school if we happen to send our kids to a Christian school. It does not lie with them, friends. The primary responsibility for divine instruction belongs to the home. Friends, Jesus was concerned about children, wasn't he? In Matthew 19, 13 through 15, we find him there rebuking his disciples when they tried to prevent parents and others from bringing children to him. As a matter of fact, he likened the citizens of his kingdom to what? Children. To little children, Matthew 18 and verse 3. Now, friends, as we discuss this a little further, I want you to turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, and let's discuss, let's study together verses 2 through 4. Psalm 78, 2 through 4. Let's read it together first, and then we'll break it down a little bit at a time. Psalm 78, beginning in verse 2, "I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." Notice what the psalmist says here. And this is, friends, this is about, this particular passage here is about here. As you look at it, verse 1, what does he say? "Give ear, O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth." And then he talks about what? Teaching your children. Teaching children. Look what he says here. He says, "I will open my mouth." Friends, there's not a whole lot of teaching that can take place without first opening the mouth, is there? We can teach by example, but that can only take us so far. That only does so much. You know, too many times, I'll tell you from personal experience. My dad used to smoke. I was 7 years old when I decided to swear off cigarettes for the rest of my life. Dad had told me for a time, I can't tell you how many times, son, you don't smoke. And of course, he being a smoker, how far do you think that sunk in? Do as I say and not as I do. Didn't sink in, did it? I lit up one when I was sick. I still get sick to my stomach when I think about it. I threw up everything I had that morning for breakfast. Couldn't keep anything down. I turned green. You know what the dumb thing was? I opened a brand new pack, so Dad knew somebody had been in the cigarettes. So not only did I get sick, my rear end got tore up too. But you know, one good thing did come out of that. Dad quit cold turkey that day. Been smoking. Friends, the point is, our example's going to take us so far. See, Dad was not at that point giving me the proper example, so I did. I lit one up at 7. Learned a lesson from it. But friends, he was trying to tell me they're not good for me, although I wouldn't hear it because of the example that he was setting. And then there's the flip side. I can set the proper example, but if I never talk to my child about it, I never show him why I do what I do and how I do what I do, what does he take away from that? Frustration. Not understanding these things. He says, I will open my mouth. He begins then to teach. I will utter dark sayings of old. Dark sayings, friends, is talking about parables, illustrations, truism, brief teachings with deep meaning. Getting to the meat of the matter in a few words. Yeah, you look at the parables that Jesus told. On the surface, you think he's talking about farming. But how much deeper is the meaning? How much deeper was Jesus wanting them to look there? And that's the idea here. They're designed to constitute challenges to get us to think. Look at it, look now at verses 3 and 4. Which we have heard and known. We've heard these things ourselves and now we will pass them on. Verse 4, we will not hide them from our children. If we do so, friends, we do them a disservice. We will not hide them from our children, but rather we will show the generations to come. The word show there literally means to speak, to tell, to reckon, or to commune. Take time out of your day to teach them. Books in this time were rare, they were expensive, and so the primary way to teach was by verbal instruction. Friends, our children need that. Look at Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. And look with me at verse 7. About to read a command that was given to the children of Israel that in my humble opinion these folks just plain out ignored. They ignored it. Because if they, and I reached that conclusion for this reason. If they had not ignored it, then they would have kept on the straight and narrow after Joshua and the elders that outlived him died. If they had not ignored it, then when a judge passed away, they wouldn't have gone right back into what they were doing to begin with. If they had not ignored it, then the judges would not say that every man, that in those days there was no king in Israel, because they would have known that they had a king in heaven. If they had not ignored it, friends, it would not say that every man did that which was right in his own eyes, because they would have known the statutes and the commands of God. But Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7 says, and this is a command, friends, notice this, and thou shalt. In other words, you had better. This is a command, and thou shalt teach. That word there literally means to sharpen. Sharpen. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt, and shalt talk to them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Friends, there are teachable moments for our children all around us. for our grandchildren. Some of the most valuable lessons that I learned, not only from my father, but from times that I spent with my grandfather on his little farm, chasing pigs around the pen, trying my cousin and I trying to round them up so we could tag them as we needed to. Helping him wrangle a calf into the pen so that we could put a tag in its ear, so we can keep track of how long we've had them. Can't tell you how many times my granddad would sit me down, and there was a spiritual lesson in everything from that man. I treasure those, and hope that someday I can share them now with my son. That's the point that Moses is giving the people here. You teach your children diligently. You talk of God's statutes when you sit in your house, when you're sitting around the dinner table, the breakfast table, whatever the case may be. Sometimes maybe we need to turn off the television and have a short Bible study. Or maybe there's something that's going on television that gives us the time to teach. I guarantee you, parents, you'll have one of those times tonight during the halftime show. Guarantee you. You have an opportunity all around. You do it when you sit in your house. You do it when you're walking by the way, when you're out traveling, when you lay down at night. You have an opportunity to teach them, and when you rise up in the morning. Why is early instruction so vital, friends? Because if you don't start engraving the Word of God on their heart now, there are going to be other engravings there put by folks you don't want to put them there. Why is early instruction so vital? Let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Who better to teach us such things than the wisest man in all the earth? Look at Solomon, what he says in chapter 12. Let's read it together. Solomon says, remember now. Not later, but now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, or the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because there are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. What is Solomon saying? You remember God now. You engrave Him on your heart now. Or parents, you engrave them on your children's hearts now, while they are young, before they get old. Because, friends, it's hard. You might be able to, but it's hard to teach an old dog new tricks. It's tough. They're set in their ways. When he talks about the grinders being low and the daughters of music being brought low, he's talking about, friends, one getting older, his hearing is gone. Talking about the doors shall be shut or the windows. Talking about them be darkened. Talking about your eyesight failing. He's talking about an older person here. You remember God now in the days of thy youth. While you can. Verse 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed, and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads, and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished, of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Friends, the most important thing that we can give our children is the knowledge of God and his word. And education in this world is indeed important, friends, but what they learn about God will sustain them for eternity. Not what they learn in college. High school. There's a bigger picture for the Christian to view. It starts at home. Turn back a chapter to Ecclesiastes 11 and look at verses 9 and 10. Why is early instruction so vital? Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. What does Solomon say? You've got a choice to make. You can go and sow your wild oats. You can go and do what you please. You can go and do that and settle down when you get older. But remember this. God will bring those things into judgment. Friends, that's why it's so important for us to teach our children. To show them God's word and his way. Quite simply, friends, why is early instruction so vital? It's vital, friends, because children will live up or down to their parents' expectations. Just look at Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. They will live up to those expectations. So, with all of that said, supposed to be talking about the church, right? Very briefly. With all of that said, what role does the church play? Friends, we need, as we go back to the book of 1 Timothy and look at chapter 4, I want us to focus in on verse 12. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. The church, friends, needs to appreciate and utilize talents of our young people. We're fortunate at Ninth and Main to have a few young folks that have dedicated themselves to serving the Lord. We need to use them. We need to put them to work. And friends, we need to let them know that we appreciate them and what they do. Look at what Paul tells Timothy in verse 12. He tells Timothy simply, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Young people, listen up. You can be an encouragement to those that are older than you. You can be an encouragement to those that maybe have been in service to the Lord for years and years and years, and your zeal, friends, can rub off on them. You can help them get back in the game, so to speak, to roll up their sleeves and get back to work if they've been taking a vacation. Let no man despise thy youth. And friends, on the flip side of that coin, we as members of the church that maybe have been, or we might consider veterans, we need to help them, encourage them, and let them know when they do a good job. And friends, we need to remember this, because Paul was doing this to Timothy. Young people, We hold you to a high standard for a reason. We expect you to meet those goals. We want to help you meet those goals. Look closer at verse 12 and see exactly what he says here to Timothy. Be a good example in all things, number one. How do you get past folks saying something, well, you don't know anything, you're too young. You can't talk to me about that subject because you never experienced. You don't know. You be an example in all things. You show them that you know how to live the Christian life. Look at verse 13. He says, be an example for how long? For all his life, really. He says, till I come, give attendance to reading. How is he going to do that? How is he going to be an example in his youth? Be an example in word. Be an example in his conduct, in his love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Because he's going to give attendance to reading. He's going to exhort those that are around him. He's going to give attendance or special attention to the doctrine. Friends, we need to expect our young people to be able Bible students. That's what we need to expect of them. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things, he tells Timothy. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. There goes that example again. But friends, most of all, we need to hold our young folks accountable. We need to hold them accountable. You know, sometimes when folks mess up, all they need is, you know, it's okay, you'll do better next time. Some folks respond well to that. Friends, if we've done that once or twice with a certain person, sometimes it might be needful for us to sit down and say, look, here's where you went wrong and here's how we fix it. And we don't need any more whoopsies, so to speak. We don't need any more mess ups. We need to hold them accountable, just as we hold one another accountable. Look at verse 16. Remember now, Paul is speaking to a young man, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt, look at this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Friends, we can expect our young people to teach. We can expect our young folks to teach. We've got a pretty good group here that's doing that already. Teaching those in the world and those around. So what role does the church play, friends? We ask them to be an example in all things. We expect them to be able Bible students. We hold them accountable and we expect them to teach. We hold them to high standards. How do we go about that? Friends, that starts in our Bible classes. We do what we can to provide outlets for fellowship and growth, weekly Bible studies and our monthly Bible studies for our younger folks, devotionals, service projects, whatever the case may be. It may be as simple, friends, as inviting young people into our home from time to time. Writing a card. Small word of encouragement. But friends, if we're going to be a successful congregation, we need to be challenging our young people and helping them along the way. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song. We'll read the singing invitation song here in just a moment. The primary responsibility of divine instruction, friend, falls upon the home. Now, I know I'm addressing several that no longer have children at home. But you still have children, right? Instruction can still take place. Some of you have got grandchildren. Use those teachable moments. Teach them concerning God and His Word. Friends, know this. We expect our young people to succeed. parents and grandparents alike, and all church members, if we expect our young people to succeed, they need to know what we expect of them. And we need to teach them how to get there. My friend, I have a question for you tonight. Are you here this evening having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? There's no better time than the present, friends, because we're not guaranteed. The rest of this night, we're not guaranteed tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year. We just don't know. Young or old alike, this could be it. This may be, friend, your last chance to respond to the gospel call. So what will your answer be? When you stand before the judgment seat, if that time were to come this very evening, what will your answer be? What will you say to God? Lord, I knew what I had to do. I just wasn't ready. I had some other things that I wanted to do. Lord, there were some things that I felt like I needed to take care of before I obeyed the gospel, and I just hadn't gotten those things in my life straightened out yet. Do you really think that's going to go over very well? Friends, I want you to consider something with me. Jesus looked out upon those that drove the nails into his wrists and his feet, upon the one that would inevitably pierce his side, upon most likely the one that held the whip that beat him, upon all of those that cried, "Crucify him, crucify him." His simple request was, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Friends, they murdered him. And he asked for their forgiveness. You're not so bad that God couldn't forgive you. And I understand, all those here do, that you may be struggling with some things. And no, friends, we're not able to change overnight, but understand this, you're not going to be able to do that. You're not going to be able to overcome those things on your own. You let God help you with them. Would you do that tonight by putting Christ on in baptism? Be an example to those around you. Be immersed in water this evening, coming in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ, arising again to walk in newness of life. Would you do that this evening? Friend, are you here having done that? What kind of example have you been? What kind of example have you been to fellow Christians, to those outside of these walls? Friend, it may be that you need to come home. Would you respond to the invitation this evening? Whether it's to obey the gospel, whether, friend, it's to repent of sin, or if you just need the prayers of the church, please come. Don't leave this building this evening without having made things right with God.